Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the profile of the white supremacist gunman who shot up a Sikh temple, killing six worshippers and gravely wounding three others and a police officer. Mark Potok, the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and editor of their quarterly investigative journal, Intelligence Report, and the Hate Watch blog, joins us to discuss the lethal combination of permissive gun laws in Wisconsin and ignorant racists susceptible to Fox News propagandists spewing anti-Muslim distortions and diatribes, as well as reckless hate speech from politicians like Michelle Bachmann. Then we'll examine the phenomenon of Christian terrorism that largely goes unreported. Mark Juergensmeyer, the director of the Center for Global and International Studies at UC Santa Barbara and author of the bestseller Terror in the Mind of God, The Global Rise of Religious Violence, and the recently released Global Rebellion, Religious Challenges to the Secular State, joins us. Then finally, we will learn about the Sikh faith, the Seekers of Truth, the world's fifth largest religion, members of which in the United States have been subjected to a 1,600% rise in anti-Muslim violence since 9/11, according to the FBI. Gurinder Singh Mand, professor of Sikh studies and the director of the Center for Sikh and Punjab Studies, and Ami Shah, an expert on Sikh literature, join us. And joining us now is Mark Potok, who is the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and editor of its award-winning quarterly investigative journal, Intelligence Report. Mr. Potok leads one of the most highly regarded operations monitoring the extreme right in the world today. In addition to editing the magazine and the Hate Watch blog, Potok acts as the key spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center, a well-known civil rights organization based in Alabama. He has testified before the Congress, the U.S. Senate, and the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Potok.
A true pleasure.
This fellow that killed six people in the Sikh temple in Wisconsin, Wade Michael Page, apparently he's come up on your radar. You've got some information about him.
Yeah, we've been aware of him for probably something like about 10 years now. And in fact, Wade Michael Page was very much a part of the movement going all the way back, that is the white supremacist movement, going all the way back to the year 2000. He's a guy who at that point started to become very deeply involved in the white supremacist music scene. He is, in fact, a singer and a guitarist who now has his own band, a band called End Apathy, which he started in the year 2005.
So he's been described as a frustrated neo-Nazi?
Yes, I described him as a frustrated neo-Nazi after reading through an interview with him early this morning with a particular white supremacist website. And I did so because he talks in this interview about the reason that he named his band End Apathy. And he spoke specifically about the idea of being frustrated with how slowly the movement was moving forward. In fact, he said, and I quote, "The inspiration," and he's talking about forming his band, "was based on frustration that we have the potential to accomplish so much more as individuals in a society and whole." He doesn't go on and explicitly talk about violence. He doesn't talk about Muslims or Sikhs or anything like that. But I will tell you that the band he was a part of and some of the other bands he played with, are just at the heart of the most violent white supremacist ideology you can imagine. These groups, these musical groups, sing about, killing all the Jews, killing all quote-unquote race mixers, murdering black people, murdering gay people, and so on. It's an incredibly violent world, at least in terms of what they talk about. Of course, most people who are in white supremacist bands or in the white supremacist world in general don't go out and commit mass murders, but a fairly high proportion of them, certainly compared to other sectors of the population, do.
Well, Mark Potok, this fellow is apparently a former U.S. Army member who was discharged for patterns of misconduct, and he was busted down from a sergeant down to a specialist and made ineligible for reenlistment. Apparently, he was a former psychological operations specialist and a Hawk missile system repairman. The idea of this man being in PSYOPs is pretty extraordinary. I despair at the state of the U.S. Army.
Well, it may be worth pointing out that as long ago as 2006, we, in fact, wrote a major investigative story talking about the presence of white supremacist extremists in the armed forces. Essentially, what we said at that time was the armed forces were bringing in fairly large numbers of these people, not on purpose, of course, but they were essentially looking the other way when, say, a guy had a swastika tattoo on his back or something along those lines, because they were having such trouble meeting the recruitment quotas to deal with the wars, of course, in Iraq and Afghanistan. We spent the next several years essentially battling back and forth with the Pentagon, first under Bush and then, in fact, under Obama, trying to get them to adopt a zero-tolerance policy toward having people like this in the military. Ultimately, in the late fall, in November, December of 2009, the Pentagon, in fact, did change its regulation in accordance with what we'd asked, but it took them quite a little while to do so. Now, you know, I must say that there's no evidence that this man, the alleged mass murderer in Milwaukee, was in fact part of the extremist world while he was in the military. We just don't know that. It may well be. What we know is he left the military in 1998, and in 2000, he has talked about joining the kind of white supremacist music scene and so on.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Potok, who's the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and the editor of its award-winning quarterly investigative journal, Intelligence Report. Mark Potok leads one of the most highly regarded operations monitoring the extreme right in the world today. In addition to editing the magazine and the Hate Watch blog, Potok acts as the key spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center. So it seems to me, though, and I'm wondering whether your research would support this, that this man targeted the Sikhs in this temple in Wisconsin based upon the misapprehension that they were Muslims because they wear turbans and have beards. And since 9/11, Sikhs have been the victims of a lot of arbitrary violence perpetrated by anti-Muslim Americans who are not only racist, but they're stupid because they don't know, in fact, that the Sikhs are not Muslims.
That's exactly right. I think that's precisely right. I feel almost dead certain that this man thought he was targeting Muslims. You know, I will say from my own experience that there is virtually no propaganda in the white supremacist world and the radical right about the evils of Sikhs. All they talk about, in fact, is Muslims, you know, when they're not talking about their other enemies, gay people, black people, brown people, Jews, and so on. But there's essentially no animus that I've ever spotted really directed at the Sikh world. But the sad reality is there are a lot of very ignorant people out there who can't tell the difference. You know, there's been some 11 years of news about the fact that Sikhs are not Muslims. But apparently this fellow went out and had to kill a whole bunch of people anyway. So I think that's almost certainly what's going on out there.
Well, not only did he kill six in the temple, he also gravely wounded a local police officer, Lieutenant Brian Murphy, who is in critical condition, as are, I think, three other people as well. He was able to get off a lot of shots. He ambushed the police officer, Lieutenant Brian Murphy, firing, I think, 9 bullets at close range into him. It's a miracle that the police officer survived so far. You can't help linking this to another issue, gun control, because Wisconsin just passed a law in 2011 allowing citizens to carry concealed weapons, and Wisconsin has some of the most permissive gun laws in the state. So there's no question that this man was able to get into this temple, was able to ambush a police officer, and did he have a concealed permit, or is one required in Wisconsin? Apparently you don't. The law that was passed in 2000.
Well, So, I mean, as a general matter, I don't think there's much question that these extremely permissive gun laws play a role in at least some of these mass murders. That seemed pretty clearly to be the case in Denver recently, for instance, you know, where it's hard to believe, you know, it's hard to understand why a hunter would ever need these 100-round clips and so on that have become legal in this country. But I think it's a little too early to say what role gun control might or might not have played in this mass murderer's attack.
Well, but what we can say is that the combination of permissive gun laws and the propaganda that is in the mainstream media, Fox News, for example, Mark Potok, endlessly puts forth anti-Muslim conspiracy theories about Sharia law being imposed, about President Obama being a Muslim. It is a constant drumbeat.
Oh, so, I think that's absolutely right. And I think that, you know, it's Fox News. It is certain opportunistic politicians out there. It is people like Pam Geller and Rob Spencer, these people who put out absolutely false propaganda about Muslims. You mentioned Sharia law. I mean, that's a classic. The idea that there is a secret Muslim plot to impose Sharia law on the United States is ludicrous on its face. And I say that because it is not possible under the U.S. Constitution to impose Islamic religious law on this country. And yet you have, in many cases, well-known politicians, cable news anchors and so on, talking about Sharia law. Now we have Oklahoma and, you know, I don't even know the latest count of
Kansas
how many states have passed these laws, these nonsensical laws. But, you know, it's not merely a matter to be amused or bemused by, because the reality is that all of this agitation results in, you know, some people out there, a pretty significant proportion of the American population, who really do believe that there are, you know, nefarious, wicked plots being carried out within the United States, that there are Muslim Brotherhood operatives in the State Department and all the rest. So, you know, when you have quote-unquote responsible politicians and people with television or radio audiences numbering in the hundreds of thousands or millions, and they're saying these kinds of things, you can't be entirely surprised when someone goes out and tries to blow up a mosque or murders a bunch of Sikh people or whatever it may be. So, I mean, what I'm saying is that...
Well, you're actually obliquely referring, Mark Potok, to Michelle Bachmann's recent jihad against the State Department, in particular the chief aide to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who Bachmann, along with a number of fellow House Republicans, have accused Hillary Clinton's aide of being a secret member of the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's not as if it's happening not just at Fox News. It is happening in the corridors of power at the highest levels of the U.S. government, that this kind of pernicious ignorance is being propagated. And that seems to be a lethal mixture. The availability of guns without the need to even have a concealed carry permit in Wisconsin, and this drumbeat of propaganda. You mentioned Pam Geller. She, of course, was the inspiration for Breivik, the mass murderer in Norway.
She and her partner, Robert Spencer, were certainly among the inspirations, Spencer in particular. Look, I mean, I think that what we are talking about is our own Anders Breivik. You know, and for those who don't recall, Anders Breivik murdered 77 of his countrymen in Norway in July of last year, of 2011, because he thought that they were enabling Muslim immigration into a country that had been largely Christian and white until very recently. You know, at the time, I think everybody who does the kind of work that I do worried very seriously that we could see precisely the same kind of thing happen here. Now, I suppose we're lucky in the sense that thus far only six people are dead, although it will certainly be more before this is all out. But, you know, the reality is this man tried to, allegedly, carry out a mass murder along the lines of what Breivik did in Norway. So, you know, this is a terrible, terrible problem. It is not restricted to the United States. We're seeing the same kind of really vicious Islamophobia in both Eastern and Western Europe. And, you know, it is leading to serious episodes of criminal violence.
So, Mark Potok, who do we hold responsible here? I mean, we mentioned Michelle Bachmann's role in stirring the pot and in this reckless way, accusing not only, she said a third of the House of Representatives are communists, I think. Was that Alan West?
Alan West, 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she also said that there are a lot of her colleagues were communists as well. I don't know that what figure she gave of the percentage, but now she's on the anti-Muslim bandwagon, as well as Louis Gohmert and a bunch of her colleagues. Why not hold Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes responsible? What? How do these people?
Well, I mean, look, as a matter of law, of criminal law in this country, it would be very, very difficult. Perhaps under civil law, you might be able to get some kind of a judgment. But, you know, the reality is that under the First Amendment, you can stand on a street corner or on a podium in front of 10,000 people and say we should kill all the Jews or we should kill all the Muslims, and that is completely protected speech. You know, there's a narrow exception for direct criminal incitement, but the circumstances you would have to have in order to get a criminal conviction in such a case are very, very specific. So, you know, what kind of responsibility do these people have? The opportunists, the politicians, the radio show hosts, the cable news hosts, the sort of professional Islamophobes like Pam Geller? Well, I mean, what I would say is they have a very, very definite moral responsibility. They won't be going to prison for murder or inciting murder, but the reality is it's the lies and the propaganda from people like this who ultimately make possible the kind of carnage we saw over the weekend in Milwaukee.
Thank you so much for joining us here today, Mark Potok.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Potok, who's the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project and editor of its award-winning quarterly investigative journal, Intelligence Report. Mr. Potok leads one of the most highly regarded operations monitoring the extreme right in the world today. In addition to editing the magazine and the Hate Watch blog, Potok acts as a key spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center, a well-known civil rights organization based in Alabama, and he's testified before the Congress, the U.S. Senate, and the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights.
Because a few of them were white, and it's the same across the nation. Black and white discrimination, yeah, and you can't understand me, and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV, and all that mass stupidity that seems to grow more every day. Each time you hear something we'd say, he wants to go and do you in, cause the color of your skin just don't appeal to him, no matter if it's black or white, because he's out for blood tonight.